This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
All right, if you are a resident of Mount Zion or heading to Mount Zion over, I don't know, the next several months, 121 is going to be a mess. That's the good news. The bad news is 121 has been a mess for a long time before the state arrived. They're doing milling and resurfacing. I have no idea what that technically means, other than I'm hoping for fewer potholes the size of Pittsburgh. But that starts today. I did come in that route this morning to see, and just the barrels on the side of the road, but the 15th is the beginning, I think, till mid-June. And there's not a lot of ways around that. I mean, you can go all the way out South Shores, all the way back past McCletsey to heading towards,
you could wiggle around Grove Road too.
And yeah, you
kind
can
of
go
cut
there,
off part of it, and sneak around.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good news. I know we complain about the roads, and then we complain
Let's
about when
happy.
They fix the roads.
Be
I'm happy.
I just hope they don't like daily change the lanes.
It will.
You know, that last summer was like, what happened?
Where are we going? Which way? Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, most of it will be one way, one lane, one way traffic in and out. So that starts today. There will be traffic control, arrow boards, and barricades directing traffic, according to the state of Illinois Department of Transportation.
And please slow down and don't be a jerk.
Sure.
You know, that should go without saying, but unfortunately, you know.
Yes.
But.
It's good news.
It is good news.
Spend some of our money that we've
it's
already
exciting.
Spent on
I
our
love
roads.
Road projects.
Okay. Mayor Wolf is in studios tonight. I'm looking at the agenda for this evening's City Council chamber meeting, which will take place at 5:30 p.m. What am I looking at? What's top of your list?
Oh, frustration over having to pay to take down two old schools.
Okay.
You know,
it's... Well, walk me through this process.
Okay, the Koppenbarger and the old Durfee. Durfee's on, like, Jasper and Grand, Jasper and...
Yes.
Is that... I get Grand.
The old Durfee.
Old,
the
old
original
Durfee,
Durfee.
Yeah. Which I believe both projects, both buildings were purchased by churches at one point and turned into churches. But then the churches didn't have the... ability to maintain them.
Okay.
And they became derelict property. They don't have the assets to really go after them. So the Decatur taxpayers get stuck.
Okay.
With the
I used to
amount.
Know where Koppenbarger is,
it's
but
hard.
I can't.
It's kind of tucked away in a neighborhood on the north side over to the east a little bit. I'd have to like map it.
I hadn't heard that name in years. So,
well, and so it's hidden, so we don't see it, but people in the neighborhood do. And I think that's the one where somebody had basically kind of moved in and turned it into an apartment in there. Not that they should have. It's supposed to be secured. But Brian, it's going to cost, if council moves forward with the bids we have, it's going to cost over $1.6 million to
How
take those down.
How is that possible?
It's these stupid old buildings are full of asbestos, and then
okay,
they're huge.
But, so how did it end up being the city's problem and not District 61's problem?
Well, District 61 is a whole lot more responsible now than they used to be, because they have a policy in place that if a building that they are no longer using is not like repurposed or sold to a bonded entity in 3 years, they take it down. We had a deal with them on Woodrow Wilson that the city paid half. But it's just, it's incredibly frustrating, because that kind of money comes out of a fund we would use to be proactively engaged in doing something to improve this community. And instead, we are having to clean up somebody else's mess.
Okay.
And it's wrong.
Now, you said they're more responsible. That doesn't mean they were responsible when these deals were done. So why are they not on the hook for it?
A different time and different school boards, and they kind of said, oh, you're going to, we'll sell. I'm making that up. I don't know that it was a dollar, but it's they allowed properties to without any regard for whether somebody had the wherewithal to or the means to really maintain these buildings.
Okay, but still, once again, once they sell it to someone
then
else,
it's not their problem anymore. It becomes mine.
Okay,
or ours as taxpayers.
Mm.
So it's incredibly frustrating. And then Brian, you start looking at we're an old city, and we've got some giant old buildings, whether they're factory warehouses or old properties. And, you know, if we can even find the owners, holding them responsible
no, I
is just, it's so frustrating.
So you're confident moving forward. You know, how many of these other old deals are still out there?
You know, I didn't even realize about Koppenbarger until about a year ago.
It's on Condit Street, by the way.
Yeah.
And Woodford. Condit and Woodford is okay. What it is. Yep.
Way, it's further north than I was thinking.
Yeah. Yep. I'm looking at the street view. Okay. I've driven by this multiple times. It's around maybe like the, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's there and it's in disrepair. It needs to, it's not good.
I'm just trying to picture that in my head. Anyway, so how many more of these are sitting out there?
That's a really good question. I mean, the school district right now, I think they've got, I don't know how many buildings they have that are not in use. But, you know, they are, I applaud them for being more proactive of this school. And it may have been two school boards ago that agreed to this. And, you know, moving forward, if they can at least have, you know, if Brian Byers wants to.
I'm not a church. I'm not taking any buildings.
Let's say you decide
you're
going to open a brewery in an old church like somebody did in Monticello. They can have you bond to have the at least cover the cost of demolition. And you know, I don't know why that wasn't the practice before. But we've got old churches in downtown Decatur that are standing there that are, you know, problematic, and who's going to pay to take those down? And, you know, and it's frustrating.
So do you have the $1.3 million?
It's over 1.6, I believe.
I'm sorry, 1.6?
Well, it'll come out of a fund that we had been building for economic development purposes to try and help us, you know, do the infrastructure that we need to make the way for new companies to come to town. So it takes away from that.
Yeah. Hard to imagine Condit and North Woodford is going to be adding anything to economic development.
Well, even the other site. I mean, I know it's on Jasper, and that's one of the areas we're trying to really focus on cleaning up. But I can't see some, you know, high dollar retail establishment that wants to locate there.
Is there any chance to recoup like any money from like selling salvaged brick or any? I mean, is there anything there?
I don't think so. I mean, we've managed to, with some of the old factories that have burned, we've, you know, helped, we've partnered with the unions who have helped us, you know, they've used it as a training site to take some stuff down. I don't know what the opportunities are there, but these projects actually went out for bid, and those are the bid prices. I think they came in a little lower than we had estimated. So, yay.
Hurts
a lot.
So, moving forward, though, is that all dependent on what that elected school board looks like?
Well, for schools only, but I mean, that's a policy they've adopted. They would have to change their policy, but you know, the schools are not the only problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got old churches, you've got old factories, you've got old warehouses, you've got, you know, a lot of old structures around town that, you know, are blight on the neighborhood. And it also takes away from, you know, if you want to take down derelict houses and do something else. Well, if we've got to spend, you know, $1.6 million taking down two buildings, you know, every house that we take down, it's about $15,000. It's 30 if it has asbestos. So do the math. I mean, it's not right.
All right. I don't know what the answer is.
Me either.
Okay. But I'm glad you got it off your chest, and hopefully you feel a little better about going into tonight. All right, what else is on the calendar? There's a lot on the calendar.
There's a lot on the calendar, and I'm trying to I'm trying to remember the agenda.
Okay, give me a trigger if I can.
Quiz me this, Batman.
Rezoning. There's a lot of rezoning and also annexing. That's always popular.
Well,
hey, you don't pay taxes to us now, but next week you will.
The one that's on the unfinished item on the agenda, we had.
This is Sunset Avenue.
Yeah, a remarkable number of involuntary annexations on our. I mean, we ran out of letters, I think, on the consent agenda. These are properties that are completely surrounded by city property, but.
I'm trying to figure out how Sunset wouldn't be on.
Well, it's weird. It's like their backyard.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that's so important to city staff that we get those in. It is consistent with our policy, but it's not like they're going to be developed or like there's water service. So the ones on the regular agenda are not, maybe consent agenda, the ones on there tonight, other than the Sunset Avenue, are voluntary.
Okay.
Like they want
those
to
are people in. That actually want the services.
Yeah. So,
what are you transferring property to the Staley Museum?
Okay. We renamed the area around the Staley Museum as Staley Square, I think, last summer. There was an old nursing home that was on, like, across the street from the museum. and the city tore it down for that. Part of that property is going to go to homeowners that allow them to have more of a backyard.
Okay.
But it's going to be, we're going to give the, maybe it's a dollar. I don't know. We're big on selling stuff for a dollar. It will be new parking that the museum will pay to resurface and
which could be used.
Yeah, because it's really hard. I've taken tour groups there and it's like there's just not very much parking in that area. So it'll be really, really good for the museum.
All right, good stuff. Let's talk about chemical feed upgrades and bulk water upgrades.
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, this seems kind of important, but it's just sort of thrown in with all the other stuff.
It's important. It's expensive. It's we have changed the technology at our South Water Treatment Plant.
Yeah.
And some of the technology, the chemicals that you do stuff to clean the water, it's based on stuff from like the 1800s. And now we have newer equipment and there is better chemical compounds that you can buy and different, but you have to worry about worker safety, water safety, all of the stuff and how long it allows the machinery to work well.
Right.
And so that is like a, I think a $3 million investment in that.
All right, let's go down to the lake. You've got a resolution for Lake Services Dock System. Mm-hmm. This is with GH Marine and also the Marina Fuel System. So what does that mean for lake users?
Well, our docks that the city / fire department, you know, government docks, it's not the mayor's dock, just a heads up. It's for like, you know, the lake patrol and fire rescue, those guys
that are down there at the horseshoe.
And so we're putting in new docks for them. Covered docks, more modern, it'll be great. But the most exciting part to, I think, the general public, the boating population anyway, is that GH Services is going to go in. They are going to take the old boathouse that's down there, the old structure right at the where you would launch your boats.
Okay. Well, hang on a second. Where are we located here?
West of the beach house, like that big parking area where people go down to launch their boats.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a small lake patrol office.
Yeah, that is going to be a convenience store that GH Marine is going to run.
That tiny little?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's at least a beginning. It's a good start
with
for
like
us.
Fuel pumps.
Mm-hmm. And that's there will be new fuel pumps that are that they are going to run instead of the city. It's been a mess the past few years because the park district used to have the gas.
Down at the other side.
Down at the other side. That went away a few years ago because they had to replace it. I mean, it was just past its life. And so we started selling gas out of where the city would gas up, you know, lake patrol boats. It was incredibly hard because you didn't know where you were in line. Like at the old place when the park district had it, partnered with the park district, you could tell, like, I got here first, I'm going to gas up. And then you kind of got in line and people were very cordial. Well, when the city started doing it from the gas docks, you had a big dock where a lot of people backed their boats out and you couldn't really see who was coming and what they were doing. You had people launching their boat. You couldn't tell if somebody was going to try and get out of the lake or if they were in line for gas. If you have a pontoon boat, you might have to back it in, which, I mean, it was just, you know, you talk about raising your blood pressure and trying to make it work. But GH Marine is going to own and operate that.
All right. What's the overall? I know everyone has an opinion whenever there's anything announced about, oh, we're going to improve, you know, lake recreational use. But I mean, if you go down there and you look at the way it looks today versus just a couple of years ago, I mean, people have to, like, even the people who were against it have, what do they say today?
Well, I mean, I haven't done a poll or anything, but it's...
I'm just talking about the feedback you get.
The general population is like, wow, that's so pretty. Yeah. And they're lit up at night. And, you know, Brian, you go back to when we started with the Park District, what, 20 years ago, talking about redeveloping the lake and the things that we could do and the things we needed to do right away. It looked like a shanty town on some of those, you know, concrete.
Well, before lake dredging and everything else. I mean, all the stuff in the lake, on the outside of the lake.
It was crummy.
Yeah.
And now it's been replaced by beautiful docks. And, you know, I understand that some of these clubs, they've been around for a long time and they have a social network there. And, you know, I think what has happened is they've tried to make it to where those entities could move all together to newer docks. And, you know, overall, it's such a positive for the community as a whole. And I haven't seen anything on this recently, but I believe they're going to have boat rentals out of the convenience store, too. So whether it's a canoe, kayak.
Is this the local company that did all the docks?
Yes.
So they're expanding now into the other areas.
It's a local company that's doing great things, and their work is just amazing. And
the docks look fantastic.
They really do. And it's really pretty at night, too, when they're all lit up.
All right. What, there's a lot on here about conservation and watershed protection. I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
It's more of kind of an effort as we look at protecting the lake from filling up again with more junk. You know, it's because farmland and everything tend to, you know, seep into the waterways that feed into Lake Decatur. And so we're trying to really protect the lake. And there's a lot of little items on there regarding that.
So. I love M, like the literally item M, because I have no idea what this means. Resolution accepting Heartland Controls quotation for the purchase of a full profile insertion meter. Got anything?
Yeah, I got to look at that. I don't know. Hey, at least the whole package is available.
I don't know what a full profile insertion meter is.
You can read about it on, is it expensive? Online at your favorite website. But that's one of those things that they used to, all we're really required to do is put out an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can actually get the detail if you want to go to DecaturIL.gov.
Yeah.
And find it. Good luck.
What's the deal, literally, with the when will elections next be held and all of that?
In 25.
Okay.
So three seats that are up are David Horns, Chuck Kuehl, and Ed Culp.
All right. And what do you have any idea about? I feel like this stuff always comes up sort of last minute.
It does. And folks who are thinking about running for council really need to think about it now. And, you know, I think any of us are happy to talk to you about it. And
do you feel that there's like a line of people who want to do that?
I think there are people who would, but it's become so nasty in the last decade or so.
Has it become just sort of the norm, though? Has that died down in your head a little bit? Not the activity, because it's always there. But, I mean, after a while, they just become that little dog yapping in the corner.
Well, Brian, you and I have been in the public life
a long time.
For our professional lives, for the most part. Yep. And so we're probably a little more hardened to it than genuinely nice people who are just trying to do their civic duty, and they're not expecting somebody to come out and just say stuff that's not true just be mean.
Just for no reason.
Yeah,
it's
like, well, why? Why would anybody say that about me?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you can't win a fight on social media. So it's just, you can try and inform people and it just doesn't matter. It's too bad.
It is too bad. And I do feel bad for people who do. You know, one of the things that we've, you know, whether it was Young Leaders in Action or the interns that work for us, I mean, I'm honest with these kids. It's like, you know, people aren't going to tell you this, but this is how life works. Even if you have the best intentions and try to do good things in your life, there's going to be people lined up to criticize you, telling you what you should do, where you should spend your money, where you should give, where you should help.
Yep.
It's just the sport that we do here. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but it is the reality.
Yeah, it's fun.
Come on, you're not bothered by any of that, are you?
I'm less bothered than I used to be, you know, because...
What did it take you to get to that point?
COVID, probably, you know, because things were so nasty during COVID, and then you just had to accept that you can't really make everybody happy, and, you know,
no,
we are.
You can't. Oh, by the way, the full profile insertion meter is something to do with the South Water Treatment
Plant. Ah, yeah, okay. It's another one of those things.
Uh-huh.
That's another one of those fun things.
High quality, long lasting, easy to maintain meters.
Yay.
From
there you go.
McCrummy. So there you have it. How do you, when you're sitting up there and you give, just as you said, $1.6 million to take down two buildings, how does the average, ordinary, elected sort of person from the community to sit and you have to put a lot of faith in your staff. I mean, you have no idea. Like, I have no idea what a full profile insertion meter costs or what it's worth or how much. How do you do that?
Well, you do have to trust you have to trust city management. You have to trust city
$32,586.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, maybe budget, but still, I mean, $32,000 adds up to something else you could or couldn't have done with it.
That includes service startup and freight, though.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting here telling you this, just the way the city manager will tell you this tonight, and you're by and large heard.
Well, but I think feel like we rubber stamp.
Yeah, but you, there's no way that anybody sitting up there is going out and vetting any of this.
Well, I mean, and that's on a local level. Think about state lawmakers who have no clue.
You go to a federal level and it's just nuts.
Yeah. So anyway.
I do know this. The current meter was installed 36 years ago. There that seems go. Like a pretty long shelf life for whatever a full profile insertion meter does.
We do go more than end of life. It's like, you know, buses and police cars. We try to keep those up as much as we can because all that stuff gets expensive.
So when they, when the city manager or whoever prepares this to give this to you, I always love that there's a line item that is potential objections. Like this is the literally the Cliff Notes version for the council. Who might show up and be mad about this, right?
Yep.
According to staff, no objections are known at this time about the full profile insertion meter. So that will be an easy one.
I bet now that everybody's heard about it on the radio, we might have
it's got to do with water. I think people are okay with making sure their water's all right.
Well, absolutely. And after everything that went wrong, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, you do whatever you need to do. So
how do you, because this is interesting to me, you know, in context of having other people run and people wanting to serve. It's a lot. I mean, just if you look at every city council packet that comes out, there's a lot.
Yeah, there's like 419 pages in this one.
And do you think most people read the whole thing?
Well, the sum of it's just like whether it's an IDOT contract or so, you kind of glance at it and see if there's anything weird, but I don't think most people go.
But even if you read it, do they know? I mean, how could you be experts in all of this?
You can't. You know, you do the best you can. If you have questions, or you might reach out to somebody and say, hey, what is this? You know, and Steph's really good about answering and explaining why it's needed. Well, like with the water stuff, we did a field trip last fall where we went to the water treatment plant, walked around, said, okay, these are the new Claricones, and this is what this is going to do, and here's what the old ones did, and isn't that pretty, and isn't that not? And, you know, so some of it's educating yourself. Some of it's listening to people.
And do you think people realize when they run or they don't run, but particularly sort of the advocates, the activists, the people that like to get up and rant at council meetings, have any understanding of how just how much of this is part of the job? I mean, no. You're not changing the world. You're voting on a water meter.
And a lot of people think that we have a lot more power or ability to affect change than we really do. You know, and we do our best to do what's best for the community as a whole and to do the least amount of harm. That's, you know.
All right. Well, G&H Services, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
With the lake development stuff, and that it just looks fantastic down there.
All it right. does. So wish me a happy birthday.
Today's your birthday?
It's a birthday.
Happy. Well, you had to drop me on that when I got 30 seconds, huh? I didn't know. I thought you were been in Rome with all the other important HSHS people.
I was expecting balloons, something. There's nothing here. Maybe the surprise is in Carolyn's office when we walk out. Okay.
It is.
Okay.
You go do that because we got to go to News and Copper. There would have been donuts, but Kevin's in Rome.
And I don't even like donuts. Tacos, maybe, you know.
At 7:30 in the morning?
Absolutely.
Anytime.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of one of those universal.
Happy birthday, too.
Thank you.
Be nice to her tonight, folks.
Yeah, start my day with you and end it with city council.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.